for some Nuggets conversation. Big win last night. They take care of business behind a 41-point night from Nikola Jokic. Grabbed 11 boards, dished out 7 assists. Came up a little short on that triple-double for us, but got the win.
Yeah, got the win. That was disappointing.
It was.
The odds jumped so much before the game.
I was telling Zach, like, I waited. I'm like, I don't know. Let's see. I want to know if AG is going to play, what the kind of deal was. And then I waited till the end. And it's like 230 something?
Yes. Yeah, it went from 170, 175 up to 230. It's like, ooh, that's not good news. And, of course, I got it when it was, like, at its lowest, 170.
Yeah.
And I looked again. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? Something is up, but he gave a good run at it.
Yeah, he did.
You know, guys got to make shots.
Mm-hmm.
And, unfortunately, they weren't making enough of them early. And then late, he was like, screw y'all. I'm scoring every time I get to basketball. I'm not passing anymore. And that's what he did. He's like, I'm going to be a scorer. It's game time.
Yep.
And I'm going to take over the game. And that's exactly what he did.
The 9 assists from Aaron Gordon that we mentioned, that's huge. Just 5 points. But he guarded Anthony Edwards and then was a facilitator with a basketball in his hands. How about 6 blocks for Peyton Watson? 6 dang blocks for P-Slot.
Love it. I see you. He was fired up.
Yes, he was. The one in the fourth quarter, he blocks a shot at the perimeter or the top of the key. The blocked ball lands in the hands of Jamal Murray, but he had to jump to catch it. And then before Jamal's feet touched the dang floor, he threw it ahead to a streaking Peyton Watson, who threw it down. And I don't know if you've seen it, Stoke. Christian Brown was so hyped for P-Watt's dunk. He was trailing the play, and as he's running, he, like, jumped up into the air and was still, like, moving his little feet as he's running and almost did, like, the throwdown with P-Watt right there. It was just impressive, man. Those blocks, the dunks, that fourth quarter, that was Denver Nuggets basketball at its finest.
Yeah, the second half was a good second half. I mean, and I thought there in the fourth, what they really needed was that second group. You know, it was like, I think it was a little bit over 4 and some change that Jokic sat out. And they did a good job. They did a good job of not letting that game get away. And then Jokic came in and just dominated the rest of the game. Yeah, Peyton Watson, though, that was awesome. And you know what I thought about you? Watching the game there, it was late in the game, and he was in the corner. And remember what I told you yesterday about him? Jokic passed it out to him, and it was an open 3-point shot. What did I tell you he should do?
He should not shoot the ball.
There you go again. You're 2 for 2.
Yes.
You're 2 for 2, man. You are locked in this week. And so I said, guess what? That's not who you are right now. Your shot's not falling. Just don't shoot it. Do all the other stuff that you do great.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what he did? He didn't shoot it, pass it right back down to Jokic. I'm like, yes. Yes, if you don't feel it, who cares if you're wide open for a shot? If that's not you, then you know what? There's a lot of other good players around you. Do what you do well.
Yep.
He was great. And then you look at Christian Brown, obviously. Those dunks, that left-handed one,
dude,
was so impressive on Goober's head there,
yeah,
which was awesome. But so he brought it, which was great to see. It's need a little bit more from Kisner's guy there, Reggie Jackson. You know, it's I don't know, Kisner. What are your thoughts on Reggie?
He needs to not play ever again.
Oh wow!
Whoa!
This dude's a liability.
He had a huge three that tied at 80-80 with the shot clock winding down. Like, oh, that got some stuff going.
That was nice.
And yeah.
That was lucky.
Well, still
just caught it and just threw it up really quick and it went in. Yeah, that was a big one. So no more Reggie.
Down. No, you're down. You have 2 possessions left in the third quarter. You're up 3. You can extend the lead here. And he tries to be Mr. Hero, misses a layup.
Yeah.
Next time down, they get a stop. He goes, I don't know if it was a pass or a shot. He gets blocked by Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
It's like, just give the ball to Jokic and let him close out the quarter, please.
There you go. Yeah,
oh, that would be nice.
You're down on Reggie, really down on Reggie. Going to need some more from him, though.
Yeah.
Obviously. So it's but a good win overall. They're the number one seed right now, 2 games left. I think that's the big picture stuff here.
What do you think the plan would be with Jamal? I mean, he's got to play tomorrow night, and then I guess you just wait for results and make your decision on Saturday about Sunday. That's the only play, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Jamal looks fine. Looks fine.
Well, Malone said after the game that he was battling to play and, like, campaigning to play almost.
Yeah.
Which I was like, well, is that good? Is that bad? Obviously, you want him to play, but you know, campaigning because the staff thinks he shouldn't, or, you know, what's the battle back and forth?
No, I think if the staff thinks he shouldn't, then he won't play.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I think it's a situation where, like Malone said, health is the big deal here. Mm-hmm. And if with Jamal, look, they're not even coming close to winning this thing without Jamal. That's what I've realized here in the last 3 weeks, right? It's they're not coming close. So they're not going to gamble with his health. I just think it's one of those things where, yeah, he's been injured. He's healthy now. It's a back-to-back, and he's ready to go. And they're kind of like, we kind of might want to be conservative with you here. And he played, and he's fine. So guess what? Play again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're in a great position to get the number one seed. So I think you play him. If you have the game locked up, then you can rest him. But I think the plan for Jamal would be to just go out there and let's play some basketball. He needs to continue to work to get into basketball shape. He's not there yet.
No.
He is not there yet. So get him out there, get him moving, and let's go get this number one. See, the other thing here is San Antonio, our next game, tomorrow night, right? They were without Victor, like mm-hmm. we talked about earlier. Wembanyama, okay? That's their, you know, their leading scorer. They're also, and they lost by like 40 to Oklahoma City last night. They're also without their number two scorer, Devin Vassell, right? He had a foot injury.
Ooh.
They were also out without their number three scorer, Keldon Johnson, who was out with a sprained foot. And their number four scorer, Jeremy Sakhan, missed a game with the left ankle injury. So they were without their top four scorers.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully those guys decide to sit again. Do something nice once in your life, Greg Popovich.
Yes.
Once in your life. Once. He's a bad guy, so I guarantee you we're going to see a lot of those guys because he's a bad guy.
You're right.
If he wants to change any of my thoughts on him, just sit them all again.
Yeah, you can earn a bit of good grace with us the way you handle your lineup tomorrow.
Very, very small.
Very.
Very.
Very small.
Very,
that's
very,
exactly
very.
Right. All right, real quick before breaks, though, can we talk about Mark McIntosh for a second? Mac is a guy that was a huge role in sports media. I actually got to produce kind of one of the first – hey, daytime parts that I got to work in media was producing one of his radio shows. And, you know, I'm young little pipsqueak. You don't have to care about me, but he gave me time. He was always nice, would give me advice in this business, what to do, what not to do, more importantly. And Mac's dealing with some stuff right now.
Yeah, well said there. He is. He needs a kidney transplant. And what we got going on is a trivia, sports trivia, The Pursuit of Kidneys, and it's free, right? Virtual event on Tuesday, April 23rd at 6 o'clock. It's all about sports and saving lives. My buddy Greg Farber, he donated a kidney back in 2004 to save his dad's life. He now serves on the board of the American Transplant Foundation. It's located here, right nice. Here in Denver. Greg is the MC of the event. And the American Transplant Foundation, they have a vision to make Colorado the first state where nobody dies while waiting for a transplant. Here's your chance to make a difference. It's all about awareness, folks. Right now, over 1,200 Coloradans are waiting for a life-saving transplant. Our guy, Mark McIntosh, who works in this business with us, is he's awaiting a kidney transplant right now. So Mark and other Coloradans who are waiting for the kidney transplant to survive right now, they'll be a part of this unique event. So let's all come together here. It's free. Like I said, it's April 23rd at 6 o'clock. It's virtual. Have a lot of fun and bring awareness to helping people out here and saving some lives.
That's right. That would be great if Colorado was the first state to do so.
That's right.
And McIntosh, like we said, a great guy and a pioneer in this business, certainly here in Colorado. So let's help when we can help. All right, we're going to have a Nuggets conversation continued here about this Minnesota and Nuggets matchup. Is it a Western Conference preview? Did we get a taste of it last night? And how do we feel if it is? We'll tell you next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stoli and Josh.
We're talking some Nuggets, and we're talking about a possible Western Conference Finals matchup. Did we get a preview of that? A little taste of that last night. Now, not a full taste because Karl Anthony Towns wasn't available for the Minnesota Timberwolves. We told you earlier they do have two games left. And they're going to try to get him in at least one of those games. And that's what Adrian Wojnarowski reported yesterday from ESPN, just not last night, for the Nuggets. So this is my question to Stoke. This is the question to you, Nuggets fans. You guys answer on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. And Stoke and I will kick it around. If it comes to the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals and the addition of Karl Anthony Towns, how do we feel about that matchup? And how different does it look with Kat on the floor? Kat's a stretch big, right? So he's not going to be underneath and guard Nikola or banging bodies underneath with Nikola Jokic. That'll be Rudy Gobert and Naz Reid's job. But it obviously changes what Minnesota is and makes them a little bit more dangerous. Stoke, I wonder how much of the addition of Kat makes it even just a fraction of a subtraction of Anthony Edwards, and what does that do to the rest of the guys on the team?
Yeah, I mean, look, Karl Anthony Towns is a good player.
Yeah.
He's a big guy that can shoot threes. Like you said, he's not a post-up guy. That's not who he is. He's a guy that lives out in the perimeter, but he just provides another scorer for him that can get hot, and he's a legit, really good three-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, defensively, it's another big body in the paint. That's not good news, obviously, when they get one of the better players back healthy. So it's I don't know what the lineup looks like. He's been out for a little bit, had a little bit of a meniscus, I think it was. Something with his knee, right?
Yeah, he had surgery and everything.
Yeah. So, look, it's not great news for the Nuggets. I'd rather them just be out all the playoffs and come back next year,
yeah.
Right? That's not the case. So it looks like he's going to be ready to go. And all right, buckle up. If they're healthy, I just hope we're healthy.
And look, it's a team that obviously constructed by Tim Conley. Nobody knows the Nuggets better than Tim Conley. And so he built a team knowing how good the Nuggets are going to be, knowing what their championship window looks like. And we're right smack. We're not even in the middle of it yet. We're beginning this championship window. So it is a team constructed 1 through 13, maybe 1 through 11, to beat the Denver Nuggets. Naz Reid is a hell of a defender, man. Xavier McDaniel, a hell of a defender, and he showed he could get some buckets last night. A little mid-range kind of turnaround jump shot that he knocked down a couple of different times. They are the biggest threat to me. I told you before, I'm not afraid of the Suns. I barely even respect those fools. But Minnesota, and I hate that I have to say this because my sports hate in my heart is strong for Minnesota, but I'm a little afraid. And certainly respecting.
Yeah, you got to respect them. I think this was a preview of the Western Conference Finals. I do. We see it with Anthony Edwards. I mean, every time we play him, it's like he's Michael Jordan 2.0. And that was the first half there. And then he cooled down a little bit later. And we got to remember, they played back-to-back also.
That's
right. They had to fly here. So, I'm nervous about them. I can't lie. Like you, I am. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got the bigs, they got scores. They're the best defensive team in the NBA, folks. So, you know, and you got a true superstar in Anthony Edwards that can flat take over a game. The guy's explosive. He can get to the rim. He can shoot the three. He's got a good mid-range game. He can do it all. And he's a competitor. So, I mean, he was fired up there. He had it going. He was fired up, and he was tough to deal with there for, I don't know, three quarters of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very nervous about Minnesota. Very, very nervous.
There was a moment in the game last night, Anthony Edwards drove to the rim, defense collapses on him, and it leaves Rudy Gobert in that, it's a short corner where Aaron Gordon actually plays a lot. And Anthony tried to throw a lob. I don't think it was fully on Rudy Gobert because Anthony's lob went off the backboard. He just thought Rudy was going to go get it before it hit the glass. And then it's a turnover. Nuggets going the other way. But you could hear it with the on-court microphones. Anthony Edwards literally went, "Damn, bro." Because he was so upset with Rudy Gobert not catching his
lob. I didn't hear that.
It was good, man.
yeah, you got to love it. I mean, they're late in the third, you know, when Jokic just took over the basketball game, and then the fourth, the backups came in and they did a good job. And I heard the announcers, they made a good point, and they were talking about this isn't what that lineup there in the fourth is like. The Nuggets in the playoffs, you're going to see a lot different lineup there in the fourth. Well, because the bench is going to be shortened, but you're going to see Jamal out there also staggering with the backups. And that wasn't the case because he was on a little bit of a minute restriction. Yeah. So, obviously, we're going to see a different team in Minnesota if Karl Anthony Towns is back. But also, we're going to be a different team.
That's right.
Out there. But look, that you got to respect that group. I mean, they're a really good basketball team, right? And that's just the way it's going to be. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to. But I like I still like our chances, especially if we have the number one seed. But there's it's going to be tough to get through the West-ish. I think it's going to be much more difficult this year than what it was last year.
Yeah.
And certainly I think Minnesota is the biggest challenge.
Yeah, the road to the championship last year ended at 16-4. It's not going to look like that this year. If they're the team fortunate enough to end with 16 wins, I can promise you it's going to be more than four losses on the other end of that. Can I live in dream world for like 60 seconds?
Yeah.
I saw this tweet last night. We remember Bruce Brown, right? Bruce.
Yeah.
We love Bruce. He's up in Toronto kind of just collecting paychecks and waiting for the season to end so he can party on Cabo. He retweeted the Christian Brown dunk on Rudy Gobert from a Twitter account called Nuggets World. And it's at the top of his Twitter page right now. Is it dream world for me to think that the Toronto Raptors decline his option, because it's a team option for Brucey in this next year, and he comes home? He comes home to the Mile High City?
Yeah, I think that's I think that is.
How come?
Well, I think salary is a big, that's why he left to begin with. I don't know what the contract looks like. I don't know what other teams out there that would be looking to sign him and what that contract would look like. But I just don't think the Nuggets are in the position to pay a guy like Bruce Brown what he'll get on the open market. Now, if you want to take a big discount to come here, maybe so.
Okay.
But I just think when you look at what's next for the Nuggets, you kind of turn the page on Bruce Brown.
Okay.
And, you know, the writing was on the wall already after they won it last year. Guess what you got to do? The next step is the young guys. Now it's Christian. Now it's Peyton. You know, that's what it is. And hopefully we got Strother and, you know, some of these other younger guys that we haven't got to see a lot of. Hopefully that, you know, they'll be coming along here also. But that's just the process here. And, you know, maybe if KCP leaves.
Yeah, and he has a player option.
Right, exactly. So maybe if that happens, you could bring Bruce Brown back. But I just don't see the Nuggets being able to pay a reserve guy the type of money that he's going to make, because I'm sure he wants to be a starter.
Yeah, probably.
And some team's going to pay him more starting money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I saw the tweet, and I was just like, hey, Bruce, he still loves us. We still love him. But it probably is wishful thinking. All right, let's talk some Nuggets. Let's talk about ESPN's Field Yates talking about the Broncos being the toughest team to read and project what they're going to do in the first round of the draft. Why is it so difficult? That conversation's coming up next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
We used to taste that Ted and Uber freight, couple of kids in a Chevrolet, catch a little air when we cross the tracks, sipping on some from a paper stack.
That's what we're talking about right there.
On a maple limb, slipping
it's a nice day
to the river bend.
Paper sack.
It is a nice one. It'll be a nice weekend.
Yeah. I feel like anytime it's warm, I'm basically ready to roll.
Yeah, of course.
That's kind of what gets you going, right? All right, you want to join the show? We're going to talk a little Broncos here and react to a statement that Field Yates made from ESPN when he's trying to mock and make projections on who's going to do what. Hit us up at 303-713-1043, ramoslaw.com text line. Show's always on Twitch, too, if you want to watch it there, twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. Join us there and hang out in the chat room. All right, so from Field Yates, he had an article, and he's talking about, hey, we're trying to project, we're trying to make these mocks, and he said that the Broncos are actually the most difficult team to evaluate and figure out what they're going to do in this draft. He said, quote, we do every week some sort of call, our draft notebook. We answer 3 to 5 questions in a roundtable form. One of them recently was, what team is going to give you the most headaches in terms of projecting what they'll do in the first round? My answer was obviously Denver, said Field Yates. And talking about Bo Nix, almost what Mel Kiper Jr. talked about in his latest mock, where they selected a dang cornerback. Gerald Yates says they need a quarterback. Bo Nix is going to be there. It seems to be the fit, but much like Mel Kiper Jr., Field Yates isn't sold on Bo Nix being that high of a draft pick for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a compliment or not.
Right.
That they can't figure out what the Broncos are going to do, right? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Like the Broncos are holding everything so tight, or they, have so they many, don't even know.
Yeah, they have so many needs that, you know what, we can't figure them out at all. Like these other teams, they got one or two needs. The Broncos got 30 needs, so they're so hard to figure out. Hopefully it's just that they are keeping everything in-house and keeping real things on the low-key, on the down-low. And so no one really knows which direction they're going to head here. I can tell you what they're going to do. Like I told you yesterday, they're drafting offense. Mm-hmm. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know for sure, but that's my...
But you know that.
But I know that,
yeah.
Right?
You feel
I mean,
it in
they
your
They
got
to take offense. They have to, right?
That's I'm with you on that.
And then it just got to be a quarterback. It has to. I mean, Sean Payton's not going to go into the next year with Stidham, DiNucci. Who else do we have?
That's it.
Yeah. And Zach Wilson?
Yeah.
I mean, is that... What he's going to do now? He's got to have a nice, new, shiny quarterback.
And it's not Zach Wilson.
Right. So I just think it's got to be some quarterback. One of those quarterbacks is what they're going to do. I mean, that's what I would predict. And if I didn't do that, say, okay, all right, they don't like Bo Nix. They don't like Michael Penichuni. Then now what's next? It's going to be someone on the offensive side of the ball.
Also, if they had a second-round pick, and Phil Yates goes on to say that, signs point that they're going to take a quarterback in the draft because they don't have a second-round pick. And he says, I just don't know that you can bank on a quarterback being available in the mid-70s to be your starting quarterback on day one. And the Broncos are at 76 after 12. 76 is the next pick. So it's if they had a second-round pick, Stoke, I think our entire conversation would be which offensive player do they pick at 12? Is it Brock Bowers that falls? Is it, you know, what if one of the top three, four wide receivers fall down? Is that something that you turn your attention to? But you don't have even that luxury of the conversation because you do not have a second-round pick unless it's Thursday today, right? We're exactly 2 weeks from the draft. Unless they're to make a trade here in the next 14 days, 13 days really, to get a second-round pick, then we can turn our attention to the third wide receiver, to Brock Bowers falling down. But you're just stuck right now. You're stuck because you don't have a second-round pick.
Yeah, and, you know, even if you had a second-round pick, is one of those quarterbacks going to be available for you, you know, where you're drafting at? I don't think you can really count on that. I mean, one of the drafts had Nix and Penix Jr. fall into the second round, but then going, like, the first two picks of the second round. So, and then after that, you know, it's those other guys. It's the guys that we're talking about, Spencer Rattler, Michael Pratt, you know, second, third, fourth tier type of guys, and you can't count on those guys to be a starting NFL quarterback for you. You just can't. You can't project that. You can hope, but, you know, odds say that that's not going to happen. So, you got to take your quarterback early, and I think that's what they're going to do. I really do. I think they're going to take a quarterback there. If they don't move up, they'll take Bo Nix at 12. I get it, you know. Hey, he's projected it to be, you know, a lot of people have him ranked in their 20s as, you know, the high when they're ranking the players. But as a quarterback, they're going to get drafted earlier, and we don't have a pick in the 20s. So, you know, you're sitting there at 12. Is it overdrafting? Is it not? It doesn't really matter if you need a quarterback.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Nail on the head right there. I just thought it was interesting to hear Field Yates say that, and I had the same response. Like, should I feel good about that? With what the Broncos are doing, or should I feel like they're just as unsure as I am sitting here 2 weeks before the NFL draft? Because I would say, like, hey, if they're playing everything tight to the vest so much that a guy like Field Yates doesn't know what's going on and that's intentional, I actually kind of like that. I like it keeping it in-house like that with Sean Payton and George Payton not sharing their news and going and bumping their gums off to their big-time media friends.
I don't think it's a good thing.
You don't? Why?
Because I think in this situation, no, I think it's a good thing that they're not talking. I don't think it's a good thing that no one can get a read on us.
Mm.
That means we got a lot to accomplish. There's a lot of holes on this football team,
yeah.
Right? And so I think that's why a lot of people are looking at the Broncos and saying, okay, well, and Sean Payton's a wild card, obviously. He'll try to move up all the way to four to get J.J. McCarthy if that's possible, right? So I think that has something to do with it also. But also, there's just so many needs for the Denver Broncos that it's just hard to project. You, like you mentioned, you got no second-round pick. You need a lot of players. Are you going to spend your assets to move up to get your quarterback? Are you going to wait at 12 to get your quarterback? Are you going to gamble and move back from 12 and hope that Bo Nix is at 18 still available for you and take him there? Or are you just going to go a positional player? I mean, it's so there's just so much that the Broncos can do. It's hard to narrow it down to one or two things.
303-713-1043. What do you think? Easy to read? Tough to read? And what would you do at 12 right there? Is it quarterback no matter what? Offense no matter what? What positions would you be targeting if you had your GM hat on for the Broncos? Tell us on the RamosLaw.com text line. Want to tell you about the Fan Flyaway presented by Sport Clips. The Fan Flyaway is back. This time, we're sending one lucky listener and a guest to a road game for the Pro Basketball Championship coming up in June. Maybe you're seeing the local team chase their second chance at championship. Here's what you're going to get. Two tickets to a game, round-trip airfare from Denver to wherever that Pro Basketball Championship may be on the road, two nights hotel stay plus $500. You need some walking around money, don't you? Go to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register. And you're going to get a special offer from our friends at Sport Clips. Those of you that have already or previously entered a Fan Flyaway contest, you're already part of the club, so you're already registered. But tell your friends to head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway. Once you've signed up, you are entered in for all future Flyaway contests. When we get back, we're going to go to Augusta. The morning group at the Masters is a little over an hour into their first round. Let's see how Denver's own Wyndham Clark is doing next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
The 2024 Masters Tournament is underway. I feel even if you're not like a huge golf fan or a golfer, this is still something that everybody's going to check in on throughout the weekend, tonight, catch up on the leaderboard, and Saturday and Sunday, catch a couple of final rounds. I know you're fully locked in.
Oh, yeah.
This is the jam for you, right?
This is it, man. A little rain delay this morning. Looks like it's good weather now. See people walking around in shorts. This is it. I mean, this signals like golf season's here around the country. It's golf season, which I love. Like, spring is here. And good weather's right around the corner. So I love it, man.
Yeah, I'll be watching. We got a little office pool going on with golfers we like or don't like and, you know, some bragging rights on the line. If I beat you in golf, I'm going to feel real good about myself.
Yeah, you're talking about the picks.
The picks, yes.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, look, you're just picking your hope. I mean, I don't know that much more than you.
Did you have any strategy? Because I went with Wyndham as my first pick because he's a Denver guy. And,
right.
You know, you guys are boys. And I was like, all right, I like Will Zalatoris because of the Happy Gilmore thing. Cameron Young, I just think he looks cool. And you told me he's from Australia. And I'm like, oh, even better.
No, that's Cam Smith.
Oh, where's Cameron Young from?
Cameron Young, I think he's from right here in the good U.S. of A.
You got ripped off.
Yeah, you want Cam Smith now. He's the one with the
hair, right?
Yeah, that's the one we were watching.
That's who I wanted because of the hair.
Yeah, that's Cam Smith.
Dang
took Cam Young. Cam Young's a really good player, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
You got a good player. He's really good. Okay.
Siwoo Kim, because I think that's an awesome name.
I picked him a lot here in the last month. He's a really good player, too. That's a good pick. Yes.
Keegan Bradley.
I like Keegan this week.
I'm feeling good here. And then my final pick, this was based off of, I also know a guy named Nick Taylor.
Uh-huh.
So I picked Nick Taylor.
There you go. I don't have too much insight on Nick Taylor.
Okay.
So we'll see how that works out for you. I forgot who I picked, honestly.
You did?
Yeah.
Drew,
I have to go back and look.
You know your six?
I do, yeah. I'm actually looking at our leaderboard right now. By the way, Dover, you're in last place.
Okay.
All right.
Things are going well.
I should have just you guys ripped me off. You
bro,
know I've never done this
we're
before.
We're only 2 hours into the tournament,
yeah, exactly.
So there's a long way to go. Okay.
Yeah, you're good.
Half your guys probably haven't even teed off yet.
A hole in. So.
Yes.
Stoke wins smart and went with Scotty Scheffler, who's like the heavy favorite to win this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you gotta go with him.
Dustin Johnson, Cam Young, Stephen Jaeger, Harris English, and Corey Connors.
Okay. You got a solid group, too?
That's my group?
That's your group.
Okay. All right.
I wanted to go Scheffler, too. I'm like, everybody's going to pick him.
Yeah.
Go the other way.
Well, I mean, that could work for you in a big ways because you got someone different. But if his wife is pregnant. And she is due to deliver the baby, like, I think, any day now. And
oh, really?
Yeah, he did say that if she goes into labor, he gone.
What?
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. What do you mean?
Is it their first kid?
I'm not sure. That's exactly what my thoughts were. Because if it's not your first kid, you definitely don't go.
This is
you
more
play
important.
In the Masters, right? You just wait. All you do is see your kid born, and then like you won't remember that 10 years.
And also, even if it is the first kid, take a video, text it my way. I'll respond.
Right, FaceTime me.
Yeah,
I'll be walking down the fairway,
right,
with a green jacket on, celebrating. Like, what are we doing here?
Oh, it is the first kid, Drew confirmed.
Yeah, that's all right.
I still feel the same way.
Right.
Yes. Masters, childbirth.
Right. FaceTime.
Right.
Okay.
2024. Take advantage of the technology we have.
And then, like, you know, like my kids are. I got a 20-year-old. I don't know. I was there, but like, I don't. What do I remember about that?
Getting yelled at from Nana, probably.
Yeah, that. Yeah, yeah. Pretty much. But I don't remember which one was which. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, that happened for that one. I mean, like, so hey, but I. You know what you would remember if you win the damn Masters? That's you'll never forget that. I can promise you. It's like
not only was our first kid born, I won the freaking Masters that weekend.
This is for you, you know, son or daughter.
Yeah.
Like, here's a green jacket. I won that for you. Trust me. Like, I don't know if my dad was around to see me being born, but if he would had a chance to win the Masters.
Right.
I don't want you to see me to be born.
Yeah.
Go win the Masters, right?
Yeah.
Wait, now, doesn't Scotty already have a green jacket?
Yeah, he does.
So he's got a green jacket already. He doesn't have a kid.
Right. Go win another one, man. You know how,
you
know how cool that is?
He's got plenty of opportunities to win a Masters.
You never know. You never know.
He's got plenty of opportunities to have kids.
Right? You got more kids?
I guess that's true, too. Yeah.
I do. I think that's a little over-exaggerating watching your kid born. I do. And then they take him away, like, right away.
Right.
And then you don't really see them. Then they're like back. I mean, you get to hold them just for a little bit, right? It's not even that long. And then they put them in the little incubator thingies, right? And so, like, that's cool.
You know what? I think I might actually have some beef with Mrs. Scheffler on this.
Right.
Isn't there a blue medical tent at the Masters? Have the baby there. Right? Is that too much?
That just takes the cake. We were doing really good, and you just dropped the mic on me right there.
I don't know how it works.
I mean,
kids.
I couldn't agree with you more there. I really couldn't. Just walk with them,
right?
And that helps.
Oh, it gets it going,
right? And that helps everything. And just have people on standby. Bring a doctor with you,
right?
I mean, what'd they do back in like the 30s and the 40s. I mean, you just deliver a baby anywhere, right?
There's your bathtub in your house.
Right, and then you just keep walking with your husband.
Yeah.
And support the rest of the day.
Who wouldn't want his wife going into labor on the 8th hole? You know, old Azalea Dogwood over there.
Right.
And, you know, she goes into labor and all hell breaks loose on the golf course.
Hey, don't go in the flowers. Those things are booming right now.
Yeah, $45 million a year to keep those things up.
Yes, on the grass.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
First baby ever born at Augusta.
Right.
That's a pretty cool
thing. How cool
would that be? Yeah.
As your dad wins the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you.
You just figured it out.
I do. Like, put yourself in that situation. And it's your dad. What would you tell your dad right now? No, I don't see me being born.
Yeah.
That's overhyped.
You're going to have to take care of my nonsense in my case, about 26 years.
I would rather you try to go win, you know, $4 million, $5 million,
right?
And then, you know, rather than see me being born. So I think that's overhyped watching your kids.
I do too.
Being born.
Texter just wrote, I ran this by my wife. She told me she'd kill me if I missed the Masters for our kid's birth. So she's on board here.
Right.
She knows what's up.
Yes, exactly. You got to have a good one. Like, that's the good ones right there. Said, no, you do you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Wait, do the same rules apply if you're just at home watching the Masters on your couch and your wife is pregnant and goes into labor?
No.
Are you allowed to miss then, or is it just if you're participating?
No, just if you're playing and you got a chance to win like $5 million and a green jacket and, you know, forever be immortalized in the game of golf. That's it. But no, we have a little bit of awareness here, Drew.
Yeah, and also
a little class.
Wait, Josh is talking about having one in a blue tent on the side. What are you talking about awareness over here?
They got medical supplies and stuff.
And good stuff going on.
All right,
yeah.
It's 2024, man. I mean, come on,
right?
It's nothing.
Plus, Drew, like, if you had to leave your home to go, I'd be like, hey, download the Masters app. You'll be fine. Just watch it on your phone.
That's a good point.
Yeah, you could watch it while she's giving birth.
Right.
No, yeah, good job.
Yeah.
Rush.
Yeah.
There you go, Scotty. There you go. Oh, so, I mean, but seriously, like, you get to play in this thing only once a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if you look at, like, football players, you know, you play once every Sunday. You can't miss a game to watch your child being born.
No.
It's not even a debate. Baseball players, whatever, you play 162 games, it's... No one, you know, I think baseball players get, they even get like paternity leave.
Probably.
They do.
Chris Bryant's on it right now.
I think he did take it last year. Didn't he?
He really did?
Yeah, I'm 99%
pretty sure he did. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, I think his wife had twins or something like that, and he...
Are those the ones giving him hugs?
It must be.
Goodness, they grew up fast.
Yeah, they did.
See, that's what happens when you go to your kid's birth. They give you hugs when you're slumping.
Well, he plays baseball, and he's not getting hits anyway. So it's like, you can take an extra 2 weeks of paternity leave. Be with your wife. Make sure she's comfortable. We want everything to be good. Mm-hmm. So just take an extra week there, Chris.
You know what? In fact, let's get Chris Bryant to go be there for Scotty Scheffler's wife so Scotty could play golf.
Right.
Let's get Chris out of Colorado and Scotty stay there in Augusta.
Win-win for all of us right there. And we get to see Scotty win the Masters. How about that?
That's exactly what we want.
This segment took a turn, and you led me down a rabbit. I blame you for that.
Hey,
you drug me down into this rabbit hole.
You know what? We were walking arm in arm right down that rabbit hole.
We were holding hands. We were definitely holding hands.
It is lunchtime.
And we solved the issue.
We did.
And it is. It's much to do about nothing, really. So
it really
I'm glad
is.
We solved that.
Yeah. Well, we'll figure out all the world's problems before this radio show's come to its full completion.
But that was a big one, right?
It was.
That was a big one.
It was. But we got it figured out. All right. We're going to hit a couple things here in the lunch segment. We're going to get back to some things with Mel Kiper's mock draft. Also, something I heard Zach Baye say yesterday about a move of Patrick Surtain II. Plus, we'll look back at the Nuggets. Huge win in control of the number one seed. What does it mean for them moving forward? How do they approach the final games of the regular season to keep the number one seed? That's coming at you next.